When Pennsylvanians and music lovers think of traditional folk music, perhaps the first name that comes to mind is an Irish folk singer, musician, storyteller, and entertainer, whose beginnings in Coal Island, County Tyrone, centered on songs sung by his mother, who restricted her appearances to the kitchen. Although her son shares his baritonal voice and music with all of America, Canada, Australia, and parts unknown, we might add, in all kitchens, indeed, East and West. Influenced by Chinook singers, he first focused his studies on every aspect of traditional Celtic music. It was probably because he was the first place winner in a talent contest in Ballycastle, County Antrim, that our guest tonight travels across the pond with the Jolly Tinkermen, and four-member group, of course, that was shared the stage with the Clancy brothers, Tommy Makem, Tommy Sands, and all the great singers, and then later remained here in the United States in 1972. Who is this remarkable entertainer? Well, only the Celtic Cultural Alliance knows at this moment, but you will find out in a micro moment. You are listening to and are a part of Lehigh Valley Art Salon, WDIY FM 88.1. I remain George Miller, and along with my wife and co-host, Kate Scuffle, we welcome the preeminent Irish musician of the Philadelphia and Lehigh Valley region, the regions beyond here. We welcome Mr. Jerry Timlin. Welcome, Jerry.
Do you feel like you're dead?
Oh, dear, dear. There's an introduction I'd like to take with me on the road. Well, thank you very much for that. That was beautiful.
You're welcome.
We're thrilled to have you.
I'm looking over my shoulder wondering, is that really me they're talking about?
Actually, it's interesting because, of course, as well-known and beloved as you are to music lovers and fans of Celtic classic, particularly here in Bethlehem, Jerry's joining us tonight also to talk about music and poetry in another context, which is an offering that will start February 5th. It's called A Modern Irish History and Song Series by Jerry Timlin. And just to get the hard info out of the way, it'll be Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. It's 6. I don't know whether we call them lectures, seminars, workshops, sessions, talks. Covering modern Irish history, we're going to talk a lot about that. And it's been sponsored by the Celtic Cultural Association as we begin a new year, and a new year filled with recommitment to exploring all kinds of Celtic heritage and culture through programming as well as the festival. So this is a grand way to kick that off.
It is. I hope it is. Yeah. And believe me, this is, I think, now going to be my 27th year or 26th or 27th year of working at the festival.
Okay.
The Celtic Cultural Alliance, to me, has so much to offer. It always has. And the idea that this festival, being the great festival it is, which is also still free,
mm-hmm.
Is wonderful. And then the fact that they have an educational program, mm-hmm. It lends itself very much to catering to those with Celtic backgrounds, Irish, Scottish,
right.
You know, and I think it's pretty wonderful, the whole thing. I'm delighted to be able to do this, and then to bring this program here, yeah. 6 nights. I think it'll be very interesting. It could be casual. Mm-hmm. I think it'll be something we'll all have a lot of fun with. And there's a lot to cover. There's a tremendous amount to cover. So, as I said, keeping it somewhat casual, it's not like going to a college course.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But we can have a lot of fun with it.
Yes, of course.
And we can have maybe a little bit of discussion as well.
Right, right, right.
Because it'll be nice to hear the opinions, at least on some things, of Americans who have traveled to Ireland and are interested in history. Because we have plenty of it.
Well, I think what's interesting, too, is given that plenty of history, is also, we were talking a little bit before the show, it's interesting calling it a modern Irish history and song series. And when do you start? What's the date you kick off with?
Well, the Battle of Kinsale, roughly around that time, around 1601.
And that is modern.
And that's modern
Irish
in
history.
Ireland, yes.
Yeah,
well,
exactly.
As I was saying to you earlier on, Neville Gardner from Donegal Square, mm-hmm. he and I have been doing hosting tour groups to Ireland for quite a few years, I think since 1998 or thereabouts. And one of the stops that we've made on several times, we've stopped at a place called New Grange or Brunabona. Interesting thing about the passage tomb there, after its discovery, it was realized that this in itself was older than the pyramids of Giza. So where would you start?
Exactly.
Where would you start modern Irish history?
Incidentally, this the series will be held at McCarthy's Great Room, which is located on the second floor of Donegal Square. And we might add, for those of you who did not know, there's a wonderful McCarthy's Pub right there
so
as well.
So you have a little relaxing and then go upstairs. The Great Room's kind of a great environment for this, too, because it is a great kind of a small great room. It's convivial. It's comfortable. It is relaxed. It's
And again, I use that word. I hate to keep repeating myself, but it is casual.
Yeah.
You know, and if you want to maybe go in first and have a pint or maybe a bite to eat and then go upstairs to the series or to the talk for 7 o'clock, I think it's perfect. It's a perfect spot for it.
Yeah.
And Neville's a great guy, and he's very happy to host this for us. I think it's very, very, very nice of him to do so.
Well, I think it's wonderful, too, in the context of, it's a natural extension of the festival. I can say, saying earlier, as an Irish-American, our experience is, I think for a lot of our families, Irish history probably stopped when the relative left, when someone left, and there's a kind of missing of that or a nostalgia for that. But I think most of us very guilty of not being as knowledgeable about the country that is a living, breathing, modern country full of history that's changing all the time and that has changed since our folks left. And I just think it's a wonderful way to kind of go back into enjoying the festival and other events come fall.
What's interesting about Irish history and about Americans and Irish history, I find so many Americans who know so much more about Irish history because we in Ireland, not just those of us in the north of Ireland, our history is British history. Primarily, even though I went to a Catholic school, it was a great school.
Yeah.
Then when I went on to secondary education, I went to public school. But our history stopped, quite frankly, at the rebellion of 1916. There was very, very little more ever said about that. Until as we got a little older, of course, and we were into high school age and a little bit beyond, when the Civil Rights Association or the Civil Rights Movement, the grassroots movement itself started in around 1966, 1967.
Mm-hmm.
But from 1916 until that point, we did take there wasn't an awful lot of attention paid to our Irishness, north or south. I think people, of course, at that time, if you look at the economy in Ireland from the 20s, even prior, up until the 1980s, one step away from a third world country.
Sure.
Let's face it. My hometown in 1960, 1970, we still had homes at the bottom of our main street where it ended and you turned left onto what was called Stewartstown Road. There were homes there that had one room upstairs and one room downstairs. No hot running water. No water at all running in the house. No bathrooms in the house. And that was in the 60s, and late 60s, not early 70s, but late 60s. By the early 70s, those houses had been condemned. But I went to school with people who lived in those homes. There's been some fantastic changes, but again, they went through some really, really, really hard times there. And so when you looked at the larger cities like Dublin and Belfast, places like that, and you thought of these so-called slums or these ghetto areas or whatever you want to call them, we had that right in a little town like Coal Island with only 3,500 people. So, interesting.
Yes, very much so.
And given that a sense, how did you come to offer the... where did you get your interest in it? Did it come from the music, starting to put music in context, the deeper knowledge of contemporary Irish history and wanting to offer it?
I think this all started really with my father.
Uh-huh.
My father was born in 1900. So when partition took place, my father had grown up in an Ireland that was all one country. And then, of course, partition came along. And now he was in Northern Ireland. And my father was truly a hero of mine for a lot of different reasons. One of them in particular was that it didn't matter to him what religion you were. It really didn't matter what politics you were. But you worked in this town or you ran a business in this town. Everybody deserved to get a little bit of the action, as it were. So our cousins next door to us were grocers. And we bought our groceries 1 week from them. And then Bob Harkness, who had a store two-thirds of the way down Main Street, who was a Protestant man, he got the business the following
week.
And that was where I started to think about what was going on in Ireland. And that was at a quite a young age, probably 10 or 11, 12 years of age. Then I got to see people like George Hanna, Paddy Tunney, these wonderful singers, and then hear the songs that they had. And that got me even more interested in the history, because the history behind some of these songs was just remarkable. The songs of emigration, what were called American Wakes. You know about the American Wakes, of course, people leaving for America and knowing that they would never return. And you would have these huge parties the night before they left, or 2 nights before they left, and everyone from the neighborhood would be brought in. Well, I saw that sort of thing in Northern Ireland, but didn't know, really, at that time in the late 50s, early 60s. I didn't really know that these were American Wakes, and that's, in fact, what they were.
Yeah.
And that also, I think, added to it. And then, of course, you read when you had your little bit of Irish history, and believe me, it was very little in our primary schools, or grade schools, as you'd call them here. We didn't get a lot of history. And at that time, growing up in Northern Ireland, public schools were completely supported by the Northern Ireland government. Catholic schools were not completely supported. And who knows, that maybe because of that, there was only a certain amount of history they could teach. I don't know.
That's interesting.
I really don't know for sure.
Yeah.
We had no Irish. We learned no Irish in Northern Ireland, even in the Catholic schools, except the private Catholic schools. And I remember being home a few years ago and ran into a wonderful man, Jim Cavanaugh, who was a wonderful teacher and fluent in Irish. And I remember saying to him, how come we don't have, or we weren't taught Irish? He said, well, you weren't taught because you didn't have the teachers. I never would have thought of that.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
But we didn't have that many people who were speaking Irish who were teachers.
Yeah.
Fascinating history. And what these six classes will be doing is you'll be chatting with folks who are enrolled in the classes.
Yes.
And you'll be telling them about this certain portions of history and how it really was.
Yeah.
And then, of course, there's participation. So they'll probably be asking questions too. But more importantly, you're placing within that some storytelling and some music.
Yes, yes, yes. And there's plenty to go around, believe me. And in going over this over the last, three or four months that I've been working on this, it's been quite an experience for me in that you start to think, my Lord, I may have too much here to talk about, or I may not have enough on this particular subject. But the more you look at the whole plan, there's a lot to cover. So it's going to have to be, again, I use that word a little bit more casual, however.
And we noticed that it's 2 hours, but it might even go over a minute or two, wouldn't you think?
Well, it's 2 hours, but we want to include a little break.
Yes, of course.
It wouldn't be fair. I wouldn't ask anyone to listen to me for 2 hours.
And this is going to take it all the way up into the current time, the present.
Yep.
Including I'm just looking at the timeline, which our listeners can't see, but there's a good amount of time given to very, not just modern Irish history, but more contemporary.
Yes.
Within our lifetimes.
Yeah. Well, again, I go back to what I said a little earlier on about the civil rights movement in Northern Ireland, because that affected so many people. So much good came out of that.
Yes.
So much good came out for both sides of the political and or religious community in Northern Ireland. And hopefully, of course, and peace. That we have today, that I never thought in my lifetime, I honestly never thought I would see peace.
Didn't you?
No.
No.
I have to say, the cynic in me, I couldn't help it, because I saw Prime Minister after Prime Minister after Prime Minister in Northern Ireland try, but fail.
Yeah.
We are, we're going to take a short break now, but we are speaking with Jerry Timlin. And we're going to tell you more about just about everything that he's doing here in the area. We shall return shortly to discover how Jerry's brother's guitar started it all, perhaps, right after this salient message. And then we'll ask him if he would sing a tune for us.
Join us for our Winter Blast 2014. WDIY's annual party is happening Saturday, February 1st, at Miller Symphony Hall in Allentown. Tickets are available at WDIY.org. Winter Blast tickets include complimentary food, drinks, and the live rock and sounds of the Doughboys. Go to WDIY.org and get your tickets today.
For program support, we thank Jenny Squali, 102 East 4th Street, Bethlehem, serving homemade Malaysian cuisine infused with spices and combined with other ingredients to reflect the various cultures in Malaysia. All food is made fresh. For hours, daily specials, and more information, 610-758-8088 or jennysquali.com.
This is Lehigh Valley Art Salon, and we're at WDIY 88.1 FM, in case you weren't looking at the dial, but you don't have to because you know what we're doing here every Monday. We're speaking with Jerry Timlin, who has something fascinating coming up very shortly, Modern English, Modern Irish, rather, History and Song series, it will be held February 5th to March 19th.
And we were saying before the break, we were talking a little bit about the contemporary history in Ireland and in Northern Ireland. It is remarkable. I was just thinking, you know, as theater artists, I've been following from afar the wonderful year of culture in Derry, Londonderry, this past year, which seems to have been just, and for me watching from afar, just such a more powerful celebration for maybe a kind of sense that this is amazing that it's happening and that it's a cross-community celebration, that it's been all about something that could only have happened now at this moment in this history, and it's been gorgeous. Just a huge success.
When we did our tour last year, Neville and I did the tour last year, and we did primarily the north of Ireland. And yeah. We took in Donegal, but primarily the north of Ireland. And what was really, really intriguing to me about this was the push for the cultural year that was coming. And here we had this cross culture going on. Mm-hmm. You saw it in Belfast as well. You saw it all over Northern Ireland. It was fabulous to see. Because, you know, this whole thing of Catholic, Protestant, you know, Unionist, Nationalist, Sinn Féin, whatever.
Yes.
When you go down to the beach and you see two children playing and one's black and one's white, they don't know. Uh-huh. When you look at two children in Northern Ireland playing, they don't know. Mm-hmm. They have to learn this thing somewhere. This hatred, this whatever it is, it's not something you're born with. So when you see this happening in Ireland, Northern Ireland in particular, today, it's just fabulous for someone like me who, when I left there, you knew where you should go and you knew where you shouldn't go. And now today, there doesn't seem to be too many barriers.
No,
I'm sure there are to some degree, and there probably will always be to some degree, mm-hmm. as there is here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it's getting much, much better. And the fact that we had people sitting down at a table, Jerry Adams, the Reverend Ian Paisley, David Trimble, these people, who would never even be in the same building prior to the peace process.
Yes.
To see them shake hands, have photographs taken, that was a major step in the right direction. And then to have peace come out of it, it's fantastic.
Right.
You know, you're always going to have 1% or 2% of your population are not nice people.
Mm-hmm.
Call them what you will. So you're going to have problems.
Yeah, surely.
That's why we have police forces and that sort of thing. So,
right. Yeah. Would you share a song with us,
Jerry? I'd love to.
Oh,
I'd love to. There's a wonderful song that takes us back, actually, to the rebellions of 1798.
Mm-hmm.
It's called a song called The Croppy Boy.
Mm-hmm.
And I like to preface the song with a poem that was written by our great Nobel Prize winner who sadly passed away last year, mm-hmm. County Derry man, Seamus Heaney.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very glad to be able to have met him but know him and also to call him friend. And he wrote this beautiful poem called Requiem of the Croppies.
Yes.
So I'd like to preface my song with this. The pockets of our great coats filled with barley. No kitchens on the run, no striking camp. We moved quick and sudden in our own country. The priest lay behind ditches with the tramp. A people, hardly marching, on the hike. We found new tactics happening each day. We'd cut through reins and rider with the pike and stampede cattle into infantry. Then retreat through hedges where cavalry must be thrown. Until, on Vinegar Hill, the fatal conclave. Terraced thousands died, shaking scythes at cannon. The hillside blushed, soaked in our own broken wave. They buried us without shroud or coffin. And in August, the barley grew up out of the grave. 'Twas early, early, all in the spring, the birds that whistle and sweetly sing, changing their notes all from three to three, and the song they sang was "Old Ireland Free." 'Twas early, early, all in the night, when the yeoman cavalry gave me a fright. The yeoman cavalry were my downfall, and taken was I by Lord Cornwall. And as I was walking up Wexford Street, my own first cousin I did chance to meet. My own first cousin did me betray, and for one burgundy sold my life away. In Duncannon town his body lies, in Duncannon town there his body lies. So all good people who do pass by, drop a tear, breathe a prayer for the crappy boy.
Beautiful, bravo.
Thank
beautiful.
You.
We just want to remind folks again that it's Modern Irish History and a Song Series by Jerry Timlin will be held February the 5th, 12th, 26th. March 5th, 12th, and 19th at 7 p.m., and you can be a part of it. I know the series is limited, right?
There's only about 40 seats. It's in the great room upstairs at McCarthy's. The cost is very, very reasonable, and there are discounts for CCA members and volunteers. And if you'd like more information, seats, places, reservations are going quickly. There's a few left. You can call the Celtic Cultural Alliance office at 610-868-9599. Find them on Facebook. Find them on the internet. I believe it's www.celticfest.org. And they can help you out. Time is running out and you don't want to miss this. That's a wonderful taste of how, I was going to say a wonderful way to address history. But between Haney's poem, that song, and then to go into the conversation about what that's about and what happened.
Well, I think that unless you're an absolute genius, it'd be very, very hard to have anyone sit and listen to you for 2 hours. Just rant and rave and rant and rave about history. And as interesting and all as it may be, I think it's nice to throw in a little song here and there and maybe a story or two.
Which is the way the history was always kept.
And,
so.
maybe a little bit of my own experience as well, you know.
Which is what makes it special.
Yeah, I hope so. I hope so. I'm looking forward to it. I really am. I think it'll be a lot of fun. I'd like to see this go on for...
I was going to say, I hope this becomes an annual. This is wonderful.
Yeah, it'd be nice, yeah.
And then we go back into the ancient history now.
Yeah, that's true.
I did
want to ask you, though, and I think we have enough time here. If you can tell us what really you think started... Jerry Timlin from in doing all of the music and the entertaining. I understand that your brother's guitar had something to do with it.
My oldest brother and my best friend, Shane, is a barber and hairdresser in Ballycastle, County Antrim. Mm-hmm. And on occasion, because it was cheap, every year we would... a couple of us from the family would go up and spend a week or so with them, you know. And one particular week I was there and I noticed a guitar in his room. And I had been a big fan of folk music from a very early age. Mm-hmm. And I had been a big fan of Danny Doyle's and Johnny McAvoy.
Okay.
And I used to think that's something I'd like to do. When I saw my brother's guitar, he said, go ahead, take it. That's how I ended up with the guitar. And he then entered me in a competition that same week that I went on to win.
And that's the legendary.
That's the legend.
That's how it started.
Very good. Very, very good. I knew there was some connection there to how it all started. And you're playing all over now. You're playing in Canada and Australia and just about everywhere. And it's wonderful. We want to thank you very much for coming here and talking with us and singing that fabulous song. We want to say, too, special thanks to Steve Aronson, who continues to pump the soundboard squeeze box, making us sound like the Irish traditional music that we love so well. And thank you, Uncle Stevie, for hosting the best folk music show on radio, Folk Classics, every Monday here on WDIY. Jerry, thank you very much for being with us.
My pleasure.
And we'll be with you, I'm sure, during this series.
Thanks for having me. Thanks a million.